Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 10th. Adam Azer and Dave Richard with proud papa Jamie Eisenberg coming in after he handles some baby stuff this morning.
Probably dirty diapers.
Yeah, probably.
Why'd you say good morning? What if somebody's listening in the afternoon?
They should be listening in the morning, Dave.
They should if they want their information as fast as possible.
We've got the worryometer today.
Oh, I remember the worryometer.
Are you going to... I was just about to ask if you were going to play along or if you were going to make a mockery out of it, and you answered that question.
I don't make a mockery out of anything you do, Adam.
Oh, that's good. We're also going to preview Pittsburgh at Baltimore on Thursday night. When in doubt, Thursday's out. You know, that didn't really work so well last year toward the end of the year.
Maybe not toward the end of the year, but certainly the beginning and the middle of the year.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there.
We've got our theories on Thursdays, and for now, I'm sticking with them.
Most added and most dropped players, Justin Forsett, and your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Dave, when I did all my waiver stuff last night, it took forever, I noticed that I was less enthused about the waiver wire crop than I was earlier yesterday morning. And first of all, Ingram and West were not available in any of my leagues.
That's so now, probably why,
we're
right?
Talking Hearns. We're talking that one of the only guys I got was Hearns for a dollar. We're talking Forsett, Crowell. I didn't feel like after week one that I wanted to drop anyone that I liked in the preseason for these guys, with a few exceptions.
Yeah, I agree. Andre Williams is still on all of my rosters. Well, I did something interesting. I went back and looked over the last two seasons at the number of players that had a big week one and then stunk after that. And how many players that had a big week one actually finished at the top 24 at their position? And that includes quarterback and tight end, because people really don't care about the 18th ranked quarterback or the 20th ranked tight end. But still, I gave them credit. If they finished in the top 24 at their position, I didn't count it. How many players do you think had a good game, 10 or more fantasy points for a running back, receiver, tight end, 20 or more fantasy points for a quarterback, using that as the criteria? How many players in week one had a good game and did not finish as a top 24 option at their position?
Well, I need to know how many people had that amount of points before, like, you know what I mean? Can I give you a percentage?
Why don't I tell you?
Why don't you just tell me the movie you'd like to see?
You know, I actually don't have it in here. I don't have it in my column. Let me see if I still have the notes. Okay.
I'm going to say, Dave.
All right, hold on. In 2013, it was, do the math for me as I tell you the numbers. Mm-hmm. 20 plus 17 plus 12 plus 28 receivers.
So that would be, what, 77, I think?
We'll go with it. 2002, 12 plus 20 plus 28 receivers again.
60.
Plus 11.
71.
So a lot.
So like 70 to 80.
Right.
And how many of those guys didn't finish in the top 24?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking you.
50?
56. If you whittle it down...
You don't want to make too much out of week one.
I agree. If you want to whittle it down to just running backs and receivers, because now we are caring about who finishes in the top 24 at those positions, now how many didn't do it?
Out of how many, do you know? All right. 35. It's getting a little confusing.
Yeah. 45 players at running back and wide receiver had a big week one and did not finish as a top 24 option.
Right.
17 receivers each of the last two seasons had a big week one and pulled an Ogletree.
I saw some crazy bids. You know,
I saw 70-something
for
like 10
bucks. Really?
Yeah, I saw something like $77
for
Justin
Forsett.
I put in a bid of $8 on Forsett.
Right, yeah, I'm putting in like $4 bids, things like that. I'm not even close.
Listen, man, Justin Forsett has never done it before. I don't see the rationale at all at even 33, much less 77.
Right.
I just think that's a little kooky crazy.
Yeah.
I don't see it with him. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll talk about the most added and most dropped players. And Forsett, maybe he has a big week. Pittsburgh's run defense was completely gashed by Cleveland.
By two rookies.
Yeah. So and Ben Tate, at least per carry, didn't do a bad job either.
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll take a look at that game. Tweet of the day number one. And this is from David. And this is for Dave.
Oh, hi.
Your trade chart debuted yesterday.
It did.
And you've put values on a whole bunch of players to give people an idea of how much they should ask for in return. And it's a very, very cool feature. Check it out on the website. Here's the tweet. I'm still mad about your Darren Sproles trade value, and I don't even own him. Way too low. Back me up, Adam Azer.
It's real low because I don't think you can get anything for him.
Well, I think people are trying to sell him, and I think that's wise because if you look at what Sproles did in week one, he had 11 carries for 71 yards and a touchdown. He had a 49-yard touchdown. So, and that was on a 4th-and-1 play that Gus Bradley, the Jacksonville coach, said, I should have called timeout. We didn't have things going the right way. I should have called timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You take that away, he's got 10 Buptus. Carries for like 22 yards.
Yeah.
And so I think selling high on him is a good idea. You have him at a 5 on your trade chart, which is equivalent to Allen Hurns.
That's pretty much nothing. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think – if you were to offer me Darren Sproles, do you know how desperate I'd have to be a running back to be interested?
So I just wanted to make that point. You're not – we're not overreacting to the big numbers from Sproles.
Uh-huh.
Tweet of the day number 2 from Brandon. Is Jamaal Charles this year's C.J. Spiller?
I'm not ready to say that.
Is Jamaal Charles last year's Jamaal Charles still? If you were drafting today, who's your number one overall pick?
Well, do I get the points for week one?
No. We're starting week two.
Fresh? I still feel like Charles is my guy. He got a raw deal in week one.
Jamie, if you're drafting today, who's your first pick?
Oh, Mark Ingram.
Welcome to the show.
Who wouldn't take Mark Ingram?
What a zinger right off the bat.
I had that. That was one of the responses to my FanDuel column. Man, if only you had gone with Mark Ingram over Jamaal Charles, you would have been a millionaire.
Yeah.
So, who's your number one pick?
It would still be Charles. I went back and forth between Charles and McCoy, and that first game was troubling. And then you factor in their offensive line woes. I'm not going to jump off the ship yet, as Dave said. It's too soon. He got a bad situation in that first game, but.
He had 11 touches. You know how many times last year he had 11 touches in a game?
Zero.
This was the I know I made the joke yesterday, but this was the Romeo Crennel situation. Crennel used to get away from Jamaal
Charles.
Wasn't
it Haley that did it?
No, it was Crennel.
It was Crennel too?
Yeah.
A bunch of jerks.
It's almost as if they the funny thing is it's you go into a game without, for what it's worth, I mean, Dwayne Bowe is not exactly a great player. But you go in without your best receiver, and then you decide to go away from your best player.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
It didn't make much sense.
Yeah. I mean, they really leaned heavy on Donnie Avery.
Knowing that they had a game against Denver
they lost?
In week two, the fact that they lost that game is bad for their chances.
Maybe they lost it on purpose.
They're trying to get offensive linemen next year.
Tweet of the day, number 3, is from Dewey Singleton. Always funny, Dewey Singleton. It's for Jamie. It says, Jamie, half-point PPR, who would you rather have babysit your new son?
Half-point PPR.
A hungry Dave Richard, an irritated Adam Azer, or a mad bear?
Oh, it's Dave, hands down.
Really?
I've experienced.
Dave has kids.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I mean, look, you're going
now,
to
what
cats.
If it's Azer or the bear?
Because,
listen, the bear will keep bad guys away.
That's true. Injuries, news, and notes, guys. Let's get right to it. So the NFLPA decided not to vote on a new proposed drug agreement.
Hooray, we're waiting forever for something that may or may not help Josh Gordon.
Jamie and I debated if Josh Gordon would be among the most added or most dropped. I thought he'd be one of the most dropped players. Jamie said he'd be one of the most added players. What was he yesterday, 69 or 59%?
61% last time I looked.
So then he's up 9% because he's now 70% owned.
Is he the most? He's not the most added because Forsett's the most added.
I'll take a look, but yeah, I'm going to guess Hurns and Forsett are ahead of him.
Nothing gets fantasy owners more excited than hope.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I'm seeing conflicting reports. Jason Lockenfora said on our Sunday show that he didn't expect these guys to be reinstated. And then with a new drug deal.
He said they've been going back. He said they've been talking about this for years, and he didn't expect anything to change with the guys being retroactively reinstated.
So yeah. It's going to be.
But
another,
others, but other outlets
week.
Say maybe.
Yeah.
Jason's the only one that's against them playing this year.
And the other thing with Josh Gordon that I read in the, I think it was the Cleveland Plain Dealer last week, was his violation was before the new league year. So that might hurt his case. You say, well, we have this new drug policy. Well, you were under the old drug policy anyway,
because mm-hmm.
your violation was before the new league year. I think it's safe to say that we don't know. I don't want to speculate too much, but do you think he's worth owning, Josh Gordon?
I picked him up in another league yesterday.
I spent $21 on him in a $200 budget.
Really?
Wow.
It's a 16-team league.
Gotcha.
I figured, let me. If it was a $100 budget, I would have spent 11. So I'm okay with the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on then.
Just to speculate.
Indianapolis.
A lot of people asking about Justin Blackmon too, but I don't think his case is going to help.
Indianapolis signed running back Deion Lewis. Indianapolis signed running back Deion Lewis.
Who did Indianapolis sign?
Sorry.
Deion Lewis. Does that mean anything for Trent Richardson?
It's just more depth.
All right, moving on.
They got rid of a running back too.
John Harbaugh said Forsett, Pierce, and Taliaferro will all contribute tomorrow against Pittsburgh. We'll preview that game shortly. Lovie Smith said Doug Martin's knee injury is a minor injury. And now there's this talk about, did he get benched in that game against Carolina?
He definitely sucked in that game against Carolina.
He sure did.
A lot of running backs are going to do poorly against Carolina.
He was hurt.
I think he was legitimately hurt. And I bet it's more than just a minor issue. Let's see how much he practices this week.
They've got St. Louis at home this week. Jordan Reed could miss some time with his hamstring injury, so don't plan on having him this week. Who is his backup?
I would take a look at Niles Paul, who got a lot of playing time in his absence and is more athletic than Logan Paulson, who's more of an inline blocking type tight end.
His name is Logan Paulson.
His name is Logan Paulson.
I just saw that movie.
I know.
It's a great movie.
And I told you that reference
really
every time I hear his name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It took me a second to know what you were talking about, but now I know. And Philadelphia placed Pro Bowl left guard Evan Mathis on IR, designated to return. He's out at least 8 weeks. And right tackle Alan Barbary is out for the season. He's been replacing Lane Johnson.
Yeah, that's bad.
And like I said yesterday, though, they did go off in the second half with both those guys out.
They did. It was a lot of quick-hitting passes, and then, of course, Foles evaded the pass rush on the one play to Macklin.
But that's going to be their offense, though, without DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, but that offensive line was a real big factor for them last season. It was really a huge positive, and
well, of course,
being without it, that's bad for Foles. I'm nervous about him this week.
He's in our worryometer section.
He's not very good defensively.
And Roger Goodell says Ray Rice could eventually be reinstated. Andre Ellington can make his foot injury worse. They're at the Giants this week.
Does that mean he can make it better?
Hopefully.
Can he sprinkle like some Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Can he rub Cinnamon Toast Crunch onto his foot?
Where's your worryometer on Andre Ellington? 0 to 10. 10 is freaking out. 0's not worried at all.
6.
I'm not worried at all.
Really?
Yeah.
How could you not be worried at all?
Because he played through it and he's not going to make it worse.
Yeah, but
he didn't play all that well.
I'm worried about him not being at 100% all year.
Right.
He looked good when he was touching the ball.
He did, but don't you think that if
he didn't
were
touch
healthy,
the ball as
he would
much
touch
as
the
I
ball more?
Wanted. Right, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, he scores a touchdown. It's one of the best running back performances of the week.
What is this if he scored a touchdown? He didn't score a touchdown.
If he scored five touchdowns, he would have been amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, 90 total yards is pretty good.
90 total yards is good.
Yeah.
I guess we should be happy with that if we ended up starting him.
Detroit slot cornerback.
I like him this week.
Bill Bentley's out for the year with a torn ACL.
That defense is going to be in rough shape in the secondary.
And do you expect the following players? Toby Gerhart.
Yes.
Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes.
Ben Tate.
No.
Cecil Shorts.
Who cares?
The Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns owners care.
I'm going to say no on Shorts.
Jordan Cameron.
No. I'm going to say
they signed a tight end.
Yeah, I'm going to say no too, but I don't know for sure.
Who they signed?
Some scrub, but depth is depth.
His name
reason.
Is some
it's
scrub.
Not, no, it's Jarrell Robinson, a receiver turned tight end, and they signed him off of Denver's practice squad, which means they have to guarantee his contract for, I think, 4 weeks. It's either 3 or 4 weeks. So obviously they're doing something to add depth to their tight end core.
Do you expect Eddie Lacy against the Jets?
Yes.
Yep. Hopefully he practices this week.
All right, guys. Let's talk about FanDuel quickly here. It's a good week for you, Jamie, right?
Yes. My team did well. My two worst players were Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
So do you think that the key to winning at FanDuel is, you know, you've got nine spots, right? Nine lineup spots to fill. It's just a matter of hitting on 5, 6 of those lineup spots, which sounds easy, but it's really pretty hard. Jam.
I think, you know, the key to having the most successful lineup is obviously, yeah, you want to have some sort of different roster spots, different players on your roster.
Right.
Took me a while to get there. Different players on your roster than everybody else. So the people who, they send an email that explains, like, the if you had this lineup, you know,
you would have been a millionaire.
Right. So, like, the column that I wrote was the good value buys, and one of the more successful players based on his value was Jeremy Maclin, who was middle of the pack at the receiver spot. Zach Ertz, I would imagine, was one of the better tight ends. He was one of the cheaper buys. The defenses were very cheap because nobody considered.
Vikings, I think, were the best one.
Vikings were. The Texans were. The Lions were good. The Titans were good.
Well, the point is, in case people don't know what FanDuel is, it's a weekly game. You can pick a different team. You set your lineup based on matchups, and you can win prizes, cash, every week. So it's it's another alternative to just kind of test yourself. And we have a promo code.
It's
Dave,
CBS
right?
Win.
Yep. So if you go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the code CBS Win, and they'll match your first deposit. Dollar for dollar, up to $200. So Fando.com, CBS Win.
I did a tournament where I had 228 people play me in a fantasy league. The details of it were on Twitter. It was a lot of fun, and it was $5 a person. Nice, cheap, fun tournament.
There you go.
And some people want some cash money.
Let's look at the most added and most dropped players in CBSSports.com leagues. Now, when I said that Forsett and Hearns would be ahead of Josh Gordon, I meant in terms of added percentage, not total percentage. Justin Forsett went from 0 to 50. 50% owned. Alan Hearns, number 2, up 33%. He's 38% owned. Isaiah Crowell is up to 21% owned. Bobby Rainey is 25% owned. Now, Larry Donnell kind of poo-pooed him yesterday a little bit, but he does have the Cardinals this week.
Good sleeper.
So he's 13% owned now, up from 0%. And Steve Smith and Josh Gordon are next on the list, up 12%. So Forsett, Hearns, Crowell, Rainey, Donnell, Smith, Gordon, and then some DSTs. Your reaction there?
Interesting rush for Rainey.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of Doug Martin owners probably trying to protect themselves.
Or just people in general. I mean, you think about where the running back landscape is. The people that lost Ben Tate, they need somebody. I'll go back to this again. You know, the Bishop Sankey owner, the guy who drafted him in the fourth or fifth round, they need somebody. Everybody's dropping Ray Rice, so there's a running back to add in every league.
Yeah, Ray Rice is still 64% owned, by the way, I think.
Yeah, but
you can keep dropping him.
That's going. He's already dropped. He was 99% owned as of yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but he should be like 0% owned.
Well, he will.
It'll happen eventually.
There'll be some dynasty leagues where people hold on to him.
You guys think he's going to play again?
No.
Yes.
Yes, I do too.
Not this year, but yes.
Who else stands
how
out
many,
to you?
How many aging running backs get signed in the NFL anymore that take a year off?
I still think
many,
it could happen.
I mean, at that position, why would anybody go? He's 27.
I don't know that you signed him to be
a
starting running back.
Right. He just said sign him. I could see him being in somebody's training camp.
But again, you have to deal with the PR headache on top of what is the worth of giving him a veteran minimum versus a rookie minimum deal.
Who thought Michael Vick would actually come back and be good?
Michael Vick's a completely different scenario because he's a quarterback.
Quarterback
gets signed.
He took 2 years off, didn't he?
Doesn't matter.
How many years did he take off?
More than a year.
A quarterback gets signed. Jeff George took like 10 years off and came back.
I'm not saying starting.
Quarterbacks are different. Running backs in today's NFL, they don't get drafted anymore. I mean, think about the position. What NFL team is going to give that guy a chance?
Deion Lewis just got signed. Teams get desperate. They need depth at the position.
He's young and doesn't have a baggage on top of it.
Yeah.
There's no team that's going to do that.
I don't know.
Rice will get another chance.
Jamie, you remember this podcast for next year.
Mark it down.
Okay.
I'll remember. It's 2 days after my son was born.
How about the Titans?
Does your son have a name yet, buddy?
No.
Have you considered Ray Rice Eisenberg?
Yeah, that's the...
I don't think so.
That's not going to work.
On the top of the heap.
How about the Titans and the Texans DSTs? I don't know about the Titans.
They've got Dallas.
Yeah, I think people are underestimating the Dallas offense based on week one if they're picking up the Titans.
Right, and they saw what Tennessee did against Kansas City, and they're just kind of going with the herd mentality. I like the Texans defense better playing Oakland. They should be able to hold up there. I wish they had Clowney, but...
It's very cute right now, the two of you huddling over one computer.
Ahmad Bradshaw and Chris Ivory are on the most added list.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Bradshaw was the guy who interested me.
I'm surprised Bradshaw is still not at the 50% mark.
Again, waivers still run.
Yeah, that's true.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you about James Starks.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Lacy plays, you talk about lottery tickets a lot. he feels like even more of a lottery ticket now.
I'd like to win more so than talk about that.
But look, Lacy comes into the season with injury history and now gets another concussion. And we know about concussions and what that means. He had one last year. He's got one this year. And even if he plays this week against the Jets, which you know you said you expect him to, Starks has got to be owned, right?
He's got to be a handcuff for Eddie Lacy at least.
Yeah. Terrence West, 79% owned. Marcus Wheaton up to 59% owned. Is that still too low for Wheaton?
It's getting closer.
He's not going to go higher than 80. I mean,
right,
you have to think of 10-team leagues, 8-team leagues.
He'll get higher once the bye weeks kick in Wheaton. In a couple of weeks.
Jake Locker or Roethlisberger this week?
Locker.
Top 12 guy this week?
Yes.
All right, and quickly I'll go through the most dropped. Ray Rice, the Chiefs, DST, cool with that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going to drop them this week anyway, regardless of how they
play. And they just lost two more starters. Yeah. It's going downhill.
This was a very difficult one, I thought. Jordan Reed, do you drop him or stash him?
How far did he fall?
He's down 9% to 89%.
Ooh, I like that because I don't know how long he'll be out, but I don't think it'll be more than 2 or 3 weeks.
So you think
that might be a good guy to stash.
He was in that back end of tight ends being drafted. So, you know, if you see Dwayne Allen out there, you see, Kelsey maybe.
How many people drafted Reed and no backup?
Well, how
that's
about
what's
Martellus
happening.
Bennett?
Martellus Bennett.
I don't like Bennett this week though against San Francisco.
Would you rather have Danelle or Bennett this week?
I'd rather have Danelle.
I'd rather have Bennett.
How about Danelle Bennett? Remember him?
49ers weren't so good against tight ends last year.
Back, I think.
Really?
During your time, I believe.
I those times are very foggy.
Maybe
in
a
my
little
memory.
Before. Devontae Freeman's gotten dropped in 8% of leagues.
That's another good stash guy.
Would you drop him for Jacquizz Rodgers? I think I asked you that yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not ready to do that.
I don't know if I'd make that move, but you could drop Freeman for something else.
Right. Reuben Randle got dropped 7%. Jonathan Dwyer down to 23%. Andre Williams down 7%. And yeah, again, I think I wanted to get that message across. I think you don't want to think too short term in week one. You still got to. There's a reason you drafted Andre Williams. There's a reason you drafted Christian Michael was on the most drop list.
Do you know that I drafted Zach Stacy in a few leagues last year only to drop him?
Yeah, after week one. That's the first guy I was thinking of when you're saying this, mm-hmm. is that there's going to be guys who are dropped. You know, I like to look at it. I don't think we could see it on our new league pages, but the old league pages where it used to show the bar graph of ownership,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it would go like, you know, 75-80%. 30, 90,
right.
100.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the point I wanted to make with Williams, Bishop Sankey. He's on the most drop list down to, heck is that? Down to,
is that a spider on
86%
chair?
Fuzz from my sweatshirt. Jarrett Boykin, do you put him in the same category or is he more droppable?
No, that was total game planning and great game planning by the Packers. Who's the most important receiver? Who are the most important receivers? It's Cobb and Jordy. Well, where's Richard Sherman? Well, he stays on one side. Jarrett, here's your job. You're going there.
Poor Jarrett Boykin.
You're going to run the same route every play.
And they've got the Jets who have a terrible secondary.
Yes, I have him as a sleeper this week. I feel like I have him too low in my rankings because I think he's going to have a good game.
Speaking of which, give me some week two sleepers, guys. Just start shouting names.
Let me open my column for you.
You already mentioned Jake Locker. Carson Palmer, can we get away with calling him a sleeper?
Absolutely.
Well, what do you think about
the
Cardinals?
Can we get away with calling Cam Newton a sleeper?
Well, Dave, we're gonna preview.
Not if you want bad fantasy points.
We're gonna preview the Cardinals Giants tomorrow, but short week, West Coast to East Coast. Are you worried about the Cardinals?
You know, I think the Giants are a favorite in that game.
Oh,
I think they are by a half point.
Really?
Please,
let me look it up.
It's pathetic.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
As a sleeper, eh?
Yep. Terrence West.
Why is he a sleeper?
I just think a first home game, Houston's run defense is not going to be good. I mean, Alfred Morris did a good job against them last week. And so I think they'll stay competitive.
Giants opened as a 2-point favorite. Now Arizona is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, that's a shocking
That's
line.
Weird. Why would they open the Giants?
Terrence West.
As a 2-point.
Justin Forsett.
West is a big time one.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Ahmad Bradshaw's a good
Carlos
one.
Hyde.
I'm with you on Hyde.
Running backs?
Sure. I'll give you some receivers. Reginald Wayne. Marcus Wheaton.
How about Dwayne Bowe?
Ugh.
Playing
good luck with that.
In a come-from-behind effort
against
Denver?
Yeah, against Aqib Talib, who just shut down T.Y. Hilton. No thanks.
Talib didn't play against Hilton on every single play.
What was he on, 80%?
He was on a bunch, but not every single
one. Where is he going to go? Donnie Avery?
He can go on Kelsey if Kelsey starts to get. I don't like trusting any Chiefs guys, but Bo made my top 24.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Andrew Hawkins and Quan Bolden and Jared Boykin. Those are my sleeper receivers for start set this week. Got some tight ends?
Just a couple.
Delanie Walker.
Your boy.
Donnell.
Charles Clay.
Yeah, Clay's a decent one this week, too. Dwayne Allen.
Kelce. Yeah, I actually have Allen as a start for start set. I was just giving you my sleeper list.
Let's go to Pittsburgh at Baltimore.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Can you trust either quarterback in this game?
I would not.
I don't think you should. Again, neither one was drafted as a starter. It's not like there's an overwhelming bad matchup for a lot of the quarterbacks this week. Like, I'm not starting Cam. I'm not starting RG3. That's really it for the guys who are potentially drafted as starters.
How about would you start Roethlisberger over either of those guys, Cam or RG3?
I would start Roethlisberger over Cam and RG3.
I would start him over RG3, but not Cam. Both of these quarterbacks have thrown exactly one touchdown in four of their last five in the series against each other. And typically when these two teams play the first time, it's low scoring. Second time around, they put up more points.
Sorry, my internet keeps going out. I got distracted. Pittsburgh was awful against the run last week against Cleveland, so how are you approaching the Baltimore running backs?
I just think without there being a clear-cut starter, you can't trust either one as anything more than a flex.
I agree, but I think they're both interesting flex options. With
yes.
Pierce better in a standard, Forsett better in a PPR.
You really would trust Pierce as a Pierce owner?
Yes. First of all, I might not have a choice to trust Pierce.
Well, that's a different scenario.
Because I drafted Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce in a bunch of leagues, and the rest of my running backs are... You know, Andre Williams and Kristen Michael, and I can't go with those guys. I can't get anybody off of waivers. I think Pierce is going to be the running downs back and potentially the goal line guy with Forsett working on passing downs. I really think that's what we'll see.
I don't think they go away from Pierce, but I do think that Forsett's going to get the first carry and he's going to get the first series. And if he comes out playing like he ended last week's game, it's going to be hard for him to come off the field because, as Dave said, he's better in passing situations, or he should be better in passing situations. So I'd be nervous to start Pierce. I'd be more encouraged to start Forsett.
Would you start these guys over the Jets running backs?
Yeah, I have no faith in Chris Johnson this week whatsoever.
I actually think I have Johnson ahead of both of these guys, but it's not by much. Let me take a look.
I think they get blasted by the Packers.
I've got Johnson 24th, Pierce 27th, Forsett 28th.
Would you start these guys over Ridley?
No, I just think Ridley's touch. Well, no, I take it back. I think there's a chance for either of the Ravens guys to be better than Ridley.
Yeah, I don't like Ridley this week.
I mean, the thing we kind of saw that, Dave, you keep touching on last year was running games seem to do well on these Thursday night
games.
Right,
think about it. It's easier for a running back, one person, to recover physically after a game on Sunday. And a running back's game plan doesn't go through crazy changes from week to week. You take the handoff, you find the hole, and you go. That's the instructions for a running back.
Unless you're Trent Richardson.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're Trent Richardson, in which your directions are, you take the ball, you find the closest butt of your own offensive lineman, and you run square into him as hard as you can, and then you fall down. Defenses, there's 11 guys on defense. They all have to recover. Some recover differently than others, and their game plan changes from week to week, and it's harder for them to recover quickly mentally and physically versus a running back, and I think running backs tend to play better.
How about the tight ends in this game? Dennis Pitta and Heath Miller.
Miller actually has a better track record in the series than Pitta, but I don't care. I like Pitta better.
Yeah, Pitta just hasn't played very much in the series.
Six times as a featured guy. Right.
So I think you look at Pitta, it's hard to get away from 15 targets. Led all tight ends in catches last week. So
62 pass attempts, though. Very fluky.
So scale it down to whatever it was. He's still going to be...
Right.
You know.
Even if you take 10% off, that's still
okay,
pretty
no,
darn
but
good.
Legitimately, you could take half those passes. I mean, he could throw 30 passes.
Right, but where are they going?
I don't think 15 passes are going to go to Pitta's
way. If he gets
way,
but eight.
Just let me make my case here, because sure. You guys didn't love Jordan Cameron last week, right, at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's usually pretty good against tight ends. So would you start one of the sleeper guys, like Donnell or Delanie Walker, over Dennis Pitta?
No, because this offense is tailor-made for the tight end, and I think Pitta is... the best of that duo.
I like Walker better. I've got my reasons for digging Delanie, so I would go that direction ahead of Pitta, but Pitta versus Heath Miller, I'll take Pitta versus Gates, give me Pitta.
P- Pitta is 6th for Jamie and 9th for Dave, and Miller is 11th for Dave and 13th for Jamie. So there you go. Torrey Smith and Steve Smith, start or sit?
Sit.
Yep.
And Antonio Brown, obviously, we're starting. What about Le'Veon Bell? Cool with him?
Very cool with him.
Yeah, he's easily the best of this. He's the best player in this game.
And Ravens run defense, for what it's worth, was pretty good last week, but the Thursday factor plus Le'Veon Bell doing amazing things as a pass catcher on top of running the ball. How are you? What are we talking about? Sitting Le'Veon Bell? No, no.
LeGarrette Blount is worse than the two Ravens guys?
Way worse.
He's a desperation
guy? He's
got
to score. He has to score.
Sure. And how about Marcus Wheaton? Would you start Marcus Wheaton over Keenan Allen?
Yes.
Wheaton or Allen?
Let's say yes.
Okay.
I don't know how I would rank.
Let's see, Jamie. You have Allen 35th, and you have Wheaton 40th.
So it's a close call.
Would you start Marcus Wheaton over Kelvin Benjamin?
Nope.
No way.
Would you start Marcus Wheaton over Victor Cruz?
No.
That's close.
They're back-to-back in my rankings, 45th and 46th.
Oh, so you're not that high on Wheaton.
No.
Not even a top 40.
Not even a
40th
top 40.
For Jamie.
It's just a short week.
Gotcha. And finally, the DSTs.
Not bad options.
I was a little surprised that you guys, that Dave has Pittsburgh in the top 10 and that you guys have Baltimore so low outside the top 15.
Yeah, Baltimore should be higher. That's a fair point. I don't know if they should be top 12, but they should be. Where do I have them? 19th?
Yeah.
Behind the Redskins? Well, they do play Jacksonville. Behind Jacksonville? They play Washington. They should be higher. They should probably be closer to 14th.
They're not moving for me.
Why do you have faith in the Pittsburgh defense, Dave?
First of all, I've got them on a bunch of my teams, and I don't want to let them go yet. And second of all, I think Joe Flacco stinks. And you gave him 60 million pass attempts last week, and he didn't do a whole lot with it.
62 million.
62 million pass attempts. And the only time he made real good things happen was because Steve Smith got into a pushing match with Pac-Man.
Wouldn't you say that the Ravens' offense is better than the Browns' offense?
Sure, but there's still questions about those. Do I have faith in those running backs like I might in the Browns' young running backs?
But you would take
not
their
as much.
Passing game over
I'm
the
fine
Browns
with the Steelers.
Passing game, right?
No, they both stink.
The Ravens stink comparatively to the Browns?
They're better than the Browns, but it's not like we're comparing the Broncos versus the, you know, Newhouse College junior varsity team.
You could have just said the Giants. By the way, I got a news report. Ben Tate out 2 to 4 weeks.
Not so surprising.
There you go.
I would expect him to be out past. They have an early bye, right? Week four bye. They do have a week four bye because we said all offseason that Manziel is going to start after the week four bye. You won't see him till week five. That's that.
Here's your worryometer: 0 to 10. 10 is freaking out. 0 is not worried at all. I've got a list of names, and I asked some tweeters for a list of names. After this, we'll do grade the trade and finish with some emails. Victor Cruz, 2 for 24 on 6 targets at Detroit. He's got Arizona this week. This is more season-long. Season-long Victor Cruz worryometer.
He's already complaining about asking for more targets. So,
is that a good thing, though? Do you want more targets?
Worked for Mike Wallace last year.
Yeah,
week 2. He
but
came
look
out.
At who's throwing him he came, the well, ball.
I just think that they did this last year, too. Got to get Victor Cruz more involved. Got to get Victor Cruz more involved.
How'd that work out?
He was a bust all pretty much all year.
It worked out better for Reuben Randall.
Yeah.
In some weeks.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Cardinals do with Peterson this week.
It will be.
They might put him on Dunnell.
But you know, rest of season. Worryometer on Cruz.
7.
I'll say 6. They'll have some games where they click.
Steven
they
Ridley.
They get 2 against Dallas and 2 against the Eagles.
Steven Ridley.
He's a 10 on the fumble-o-meter,
uh-huh.
But he's only a 4 on the worryometer.
2.
He's coming off a bad game, so at Minnesota this week.
Yeah, I don't like him this week. I think the Vikings' run defense is good.
Steven Jackson actually did all right. 12 carries for 52 yards and 1 catch.
Didn't even play half the snaps for the Falcons.
He tripped a few times inside the 5, too.
He's also a giant beast. He's a wildebeest.
He's so big.
He is a big person.
All right, but where are you on the worryometer?
6.
Compared to where you were, though, preseason, like, has anything changed for
no,
you?
No, he's still. I'm sitting here waiting at the bus stop for the Steven Jackson bus to break down. I don't know why I'd wait for a bus to break down, but, you know, I make all sorts of irrational decisions.
Hi, May.
His name's Jamie, not May.
Six.
The joy of six.
There you go. Trent Richardson.
11. But then again, you know where I was on him all preseason long.
Sure. Jamie?
Yeah, 8.
Ooh.
It's
so
not good.
If you were going to draft again.
I'd take Ahmad Bradshaw.
Well, I know you wouldn't take Richardson, but Jamie, how do you
I'd
feel
still,
about
if I, you know, again, I'm not going to say 1 week is the indicator, but.
How about a whole training camp in preseason?
Yeah, that's the problem.
He's still better catching the ball and being out in space.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't have the right offensive coordinator.
Sure, let's blame everybody but Trent Richardson.
No. I mean, he's clearly terrible, but they don't have the right offensive coordinator for what their personnel is.
It sounds crazy, but they should use Bradshaw on running downs and T. Rich on passing downs.
Larry Fitzgerald, 4 targets, 1 catch for 22 yards against San Diego.
I want to say 2, but I'm going to go with 5. I'm a little perturbed by this.
I did have one stat, though, from last year that I thought was interesting. Week 2, last season, Fitzgerald. I remember, just for comparison's sake, last week, 1 catch on 4 targets for 22 yards. Week 2 last year, 2 catches on 5 targets for 33 yards.
Who is that against?
Detroit. So it happens sometimes.
That's weird because both of those matchups are favorable. You go into them and you figure, oh, these secondaries aren't anything good. Fitzgerald will get an overload of targets. That's what he did in week 5 last year? Week 2 last year?
5 targets.
I'm going to see what he did in week 3.
Not that great. And actually, I looked at his game log, and this is why I regret drafting him. I only drafted him in one league.
2 weeks later, he had a big game.
He just didn't have that many big yards games. And
well,
he
doesn't stretch the field anymore.
Yeah, he was just so touchdown dependent, and again, led the league in red zone targets. And
it's kind of why this was one of the reasons why I changed my rankings toward the end.
You put Floyd ahead of him?
No, I still kept
Floyd.
You just
slid Fitzgerald down.
Yeah.
So I like how he ended last season. Yeah, it's 5 for Fitzgerald.
You like how he ended last season?
Yeah, when they were really starting to click. We talked about that with Arizona's offense, and I think he'll bounce back. I'm not dying.
I don't think he's going to suck or anything. Jamie, where are we on Fitzgerald?
Same, 5.
RG3.
8.
Yeah, I was going to say 8. I'm going to go 8.5.
Nick Foles.
6.
I'm not worried at all because this is what I expected.
Yeah, and see, I expected better, but now that offensive line.
I expected the 18 to 20 range, not the 20 to 25 range. You know, which is why.
If he didn't suck so much in the first half against Jacksonville, that number would be much better.
That's the difference between 27 and 2 and a little bit closer range.
That's fine. He had I like how he rebounded in the second half and really. I built some confidence back up in him after he destroyed all of it in the first half of that game.
Right.
But now behind that offensive line, I'm a little worried.
It's also, that was against a mediocre opponent. I don't want to say Jacksonville's bad, but they're obviously not great. And the schedule is tougher for him this year because he gets the NFC West. Last year, this type of performance, he would have had the second half the whole game. He did it against Oakland. He did it against Minnesota. He did it against, you know, several other teams. He's still good.
It's the turnover, the fumbles, 2 fumbles.
That's what he avoided last year.
The pressure that
because the offensive line was
him.
Better last year.
Yeah, it's concerning.
That's concerning.
Lamar Miller. Now, this is an interesting one. I actually put him in here because even though he ended up with a very good game, 59 rushing yards, 19 receiving yards, and a receiving touchdown, he did fumble. Knowshon Moreno had 13 more carries.
He looked amazing.
And Miller, I just don't know that we can rely on him being a big receiver.
How
it
many,
was very strange that Knowshon didn't get a
workload?
Target.
Yeah, what was his workload strange. After the fumble, Miller's?
I don't know. I think it was fine, I thought, but I don't know. Where are you? Worryometer on Miller?
3. And the only reason it's a 3 is because, not the fumble, it's Knowshon.
Sure.
Because
I would go like 5 for the exact same reason.
Knowshon's still going to get hurt. I mean, he's dealing with bad knees, and if they're going to work him like this, he's going to get hurt. I hope it's not this week. He's our start of the week this week. And part of the reason is let's use the bullets in our gun while we have them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Julian Alexander. You can look that up, Dave.
He fumbled. When was this?
Sunday.
Second quarter, he fumbled. So
Can you look that up privately, and then we'll come back to it?
I know the next series, it looks like he didn't even
okay.
get on the field.
I mean, I could just mute you, alternatively.
Why don't you mute that?
Julian Alexander, Michael Crabtree, where are you at?
Two. Only, and it, I'll give you the two reasons why. One, I wonder if this calf injury is worse than they let on. And two, there's so many mouths to feed there.
Yeah, well, it's really not much different than last year.
Yeah, it is.
Why?
They have two different receivers that they give playing time to.
Yeah, but are they any good?
No, but it's still guys that they can rotate in if Crabtree's not 100%.
Oh, if he's not 100%. So I think it's really just one worry.
No, it's he wouldn't come off the field if they didn't have other guys.
All right, that's fair. You got your answer?
Miller actually had more touches in the second half than he did in the first half.
Yeah.
By one more touch. It looked like he lost some time after the fumble. But
worryometer
back in there.
From Tom Cotton. Tom Brady.
A lot of people are hitting the panic button on him after one game.
Ridiculous.
Silliness.
I'm going to go with a 3.
0.
Good for you.
Jaime?
On Brady?
Yeah.
0.
James G. LeSean McCoy. Now that Sproles is taking touches.
Oh, my God. Sproles. See, this is my 0.
Okay.
No worries.
Mine, too.
We knew that Sproles would take a little bit.
Move on.
I saw his house last night on an ESPN feature.
Sproles' house?
Yeah, no, McCoy's house.
I imagine Sproles lives in a mushroom cabin like the Smurfs.
I was going to say something small.
On behalf of short goes, people everywhere, screw you guys. Javi Dopez, Eddie Lacy, worryometer.
5.
2.
5.
Concussion. Hashtag concussion.
All right. Truck, all Rams defense and offense.
Offense, 9. Defense, 1.
I'll turn that 9 into a 6 for the offense.
Yeah, really, Stacy. Like, people are
really
quite
Stacy.
Worried about him. Are you guys?
There's a lot going sideways on him quickly.
Yep.
The fact that Cunningham is getting involved and taking pass-catching opportunities away, that's not good.
Would you rather have Joik Bell or Stacy rest of season?
That's a good question.
Yeah. See, the problem is I almost feel like Bell is easier to predict than Stacy will be. I'll say Stacy, but it's closer than it was during draft season.
Jamie, would you rather have Vereen or Stacy rest of season?
Vereen over everybody, bro.
What about Ingram? Vereen or
Standard
Ingram?
Scoring.
Vereen over everyone.
In all seriousness, Vereen over Stacy?
I still rather Stacy.
Okay. Fantasy football was VJAX.
Nah, 3.
Guess who they have this week?
Who do they have?
Let's go schedule, boy.
They have, shoot. I know this one. Hold on.
Cheating.
Shh. Doug Martin. St. Louis.
Right. What did number one receivers do against the Rams?
Not much last week.
No?
No. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Running.
All right.
I thought two receivers actually scored touchdowns.
Vincent Jackson's going to take a handoff and go 70 yards for a touchdown.
Are you saying that's not going to happen?
You're assuming Patterson's the number one guy on the depth chart.
Oh, that's a good point. So Greg Jennings did have a good game.
That's right. He did. So Vincent Jackson, how'd he do? How's he going to do?
Mike Evans is going to score.
You sitting him?
10 no, touchdowns.
Hell no, that's sitting him. And two more. Kristen's worried about Tony Romo. Worryometer on Romo.
3.
I see you.
JB has a 0 up. And AJ Ronaldo, Woodhead in a PPR league.
2.
0.
Grade the trade from Simon. Dear Barry, Robin, and Maurice.
Jones Drews?
I feel like... No, I have no idea who that is. Should I trade Kelvin Benjamin for Joik Bell? Kelvin's my number 6 wide receiver.
1,000%, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
A.
So that's an A.
That's good.
Andrew from Dutch Country, Pennsylvania. Hey, Luciano, Placido, and Jose.
Opera singers?
Jose.
Yeah.
Jose's an opera singer?
I don't know who.
Canseco.
Yeah. He's got a new career. Grade the trade. I give. Oh, by the way, I'll let you decide. Should I read typos as they are, or should I?
No.
Depends on the typo.
No. Why would you embarrass somebody? Only read your typos.
You always read my typos.
Let me see if I can find one.
Go ahead.
This guy said, give LeSean McCoy and Kyle Roof off. I think that's funny.
He blows the roof off.
McCoy and Rudolph for Gio, Graham, and DeSean Jackson. And he has Gronk already. So he's
Would
up,
you like to use the trade chart for this?
He's given up McCoy
Talk
and Rudolph
yourselves.
To get Giovanni Bernard, Jimmy Graham, and DeSean Jackson.
I'm not paying attention. I'm looking for typos.
Go ahead, Adam.
Very helpful.
Analyze this trade as only you can.
I don't think I'd do it.
Oh, what's the trade? I'm sorry.
You give up McCoy and Rudolph. You get Giovanni Bernard, Jimmy Graham, and DeSean Jackson. It seems pretty even to me, but I just think McCoy is too good.
F.
F?
F.
Really?
F.
Let me spring this up, Jamie. If you love Ingram as much as you do and you're convinced he's going to have a good year, do you think that will hurt Jimmy Graham's touchdown production?
No.
Well, it did in week one.
This is a no-brainer.
Because he scored two and Jimmy Graham scored zero.
If you're getting Gio,
because he and Kyrie Robinson scored short-range touchdowns, and that's where that's where Jimmy Graham makes his money.
How many times do you think that's going to happen where they score three rushing
touchdowns? That's why I want to know Ingram that
I like Ingram relative to where he was drafted, relative to where he was picked up, relative to what he means to your roster.
Okay.
Like, given the running back scenario right now.
I knew those were the Bee Gees.
Who?
Barry Robin,
Barry
and,
Robin
Maurice.
And Maurice?
Given the
Maurice Jones-Drew is in the Bee Gees?
He slows them down. I think you got to just understand what the running back landscape is right now. We just lost two guys potentially for this week. Two guys that were drafted to be starters across the board. Ben Tate and Doug Martin. They may not play. Eddie Lacy might be a
Ben
third.
Tate's not going to play. He's ruled out 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So you lost guys that may not play this week. Eddie Lacy may be a third. Toby Garrett may be a fourth.
The trade chart way in favor of getting Gio, Jimmy Graham, and DeSean Jackson.
I don't think it's a bad trade.
I think it's an A.
F.
I don't think it's an A.
You'd rather have LeSean and Rudolph.
Yes.
The drop-off from LeSean to Gio is not as far as the rise from Rudolph to Graham, and you get DeSean Jackson thrown in just for fun.
From Jarrett from Seattle, in a dynasty league, do I trade Austin Seferian-Jenkins and Jay Samaro for Eric Ebron?
You know why I like this trade? Because it frees up a roster spot in a dynasty league for you to pick up somebody else. While you still presumably have depth at tight end to play this year, you've got a great tight end for the future. Eric Ebron, already mark it down, going to be a breakout candidate in 2015. He even got an end zone target against the Giants.
Yeah, he did.
I make this trade.
Eric from the city of brotherly love, a.k.a. Philly. Thank you for clarifying, Eric. What's up, Bart, Milhouse, and Ralph? Who's Ralph?
Three's Company.
Which one of us is Ralph? Me? My cat's name is Mittens. Gray the trade.
I guess this means I'm Milhouse.
Gio and Macklin. I give Monte Ball and DeSean Jackson. I could not hate that trade more.
Yeah, that's enough.
I'll say D. Jamie?
D.
You know me. When it comes to grade the trade, it's either pass fail.
I'm going to skip the rest of these so we can get to some more emails that are, more generic. Owen Wyatt wants to know if Jamie Collins is a solid IDP replacement for Derek Johnson.
I feel I'm qualified to answer this because Jamie might give a glowing review for anybody whose name is Jamie.
And plays on Shane Vereen's team.
I think Collins is a great IDP.
Okay. from Aiden or Adon. I own RG3 in a PPR league. Available quarterbacks are Kaepernick, Palmer, and Locker. Who should I pick up to stream with RG3?
I'm going to go ahead and cut RG3 in this league and pick up Kaepernick.
Okay. From Arthur, who would you drop to pick up Josh Gordon? This is an easy one out of his three options, so it's obviously Malcolm Floyd. But would you drop any of the other two for Josh Gordon right now, Torrey Smith or Golden Tate?
The only way you could consider that, and it's not happening, but the only way you would even consider it is if all of a sudden Josh Gordon's reinstated for 16 games.
Yep.
And then you're saying, okay, I could cut Torrey Smith or Golden Tate.
Exactly. So only in a situation like that would you do it.
And then you wake up, and you're in a haze of smoke surrounded by Josh Gordon, and you go back to bed.
Is Josh Gordon wearing like a Wizards outfit?
Essentially.
Like a purple Wizard outfit. Not the Washington Wizards.
No, he's wearing a car salesman outfit,
A Wizards outfit.
Oh, okay. Torrey Smith or Golden Tate.
I picture him as the car salesman in True Lies. Bill Paxton's character.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love this beauty.
Torrey Smith or Golden Tate?
I want to go to Cleveland and get Josh Gordon to try and sell me a car.
Golden Tate.
Dave?
What's the question?
Torrey Smith or Golden Tate, rest of season?
After what I've seen, I think it has to be Golden Tate.
From Brian in what
Did
city,
you see Golden
Dave?
Tate when he got stopped short of the goal line? And he walked into the end zone and he pretended like he was picking up and smelling the end zone.
Oh, no. No, I saw Golden Tate make the first down gesture many, many times.
That means he got a first down and the team gets to continue.
Did he have more first downs than the Giants as
Probably.
A team?
Probably. Brian's in Florida, Dave. What city?
Dade City.
Who should I start, Nick Foles or Jake Locker?
Oh, stand by your man, bro.
No chance. Jake Locker.
Nick Foles. That's going to be a fun game.
That's going to be a fun game, but Nick Foles is not going to have a great one.
Nick Foles.
Really?
I'm very worried about that O-line.
They have no pass rush.
Indianapolis, though?
They have no pass rush.
They've got a coordinator who can generate a pass rush against second and third string offensive linemen.
And finally.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with Locker.
Andrew from Manhattan. Is the commissioner of a pretty competitive
Hold
12
on.
Team.
Read the beginning.
Do you know who it is?
Yes.
Hi, Roman, Seth, and Dean.
You guys, take a guess.
It's got to be wrestling if Dave knows it.
Yes, I know who it is.
Who is it?
It's the Shield.
It was the Shield.
Gotcha.
Look at Jamie watching his wrestling.
I usually watch the last half hour. I haven't seen it in a couple weeks, but I usually watch the last half hour of Monday Night Raw.
I'm proud of you, man. Really proud of you.
And they are usually on quite a bit.
I am. Not like you, jerk. You don't watch wrestling. You're too hoity-toity for that.
It's stupid.
I'm too busy playing my guitar and doing work.
Now, not many people have this scenario, but should we make fun of Will Brinson for making an ad drop in a league that we're not playing?
Tobin did it, too.
Which league?
The 12-team standard mock draft.
I thought it was Toby. Maybe it was Brinson. I saw
What's
that.
What's the
like, what?
League ID on that?
It's one of the mock drafts we did that we're not playing in.
Because I might think that we're playing in that league, too.
Dave, I'm going to go ahead and guess you didn't set your lineup.
But Will picked up Dwayne Allen and dropped Jordan Matthews.
Good for him. Good job, Will.
You should go into that league and drop LeSean McCoy. Just to get the point across.
That he's going
to
brag
There's
about it.
And Will
There's
Will
multiple
would
people
see that?
Making. Joe Polito did as well. Maybe I should make it clear we're not playing that league out.
Or maybe we should play that league out.
No, I don't think we should. I didn't.
All right, what's the Shield's
yeah,
email?
Yeah, all right, shut up, everybody. I'm the commissioner of a pretty competitive 12-team league, and I'm looking for advice on how to handle this Josh Gordon situation. He went undrafted last Wednesday. We run a fab, but an owner added him this past Saturday when all players were available as free agents. If his suspension is overturned, what should be done? Is it fair that a $50 player was added for no cost, or would I be a tyrant if I stripped the player from the team and added him to the free agent pool so all owners have the same chance to add a top 20 overall guy?
Who's responsible for making the rules of his fantasy league, his or her fantasy league?
He is.
Right, the commissioner is.
But
you made these
what
rules.
Would you do?
You made these rules. An owner in your league was smart enough to go out and take a chance on Josh Gordon and add him before a fab budget was instated. Instated? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Was put in.
Right.
Guess what? It should be legal. It counts. Do nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
Be a good commissioner and actually pat your friend on the back. Say, that was a swell move, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck. And may you have good fortune instated in your life.
Dave and Jamie, thank you very much. Back tomorrow with Start or Sit for
this
the what?
This the end of your week?
No, I'm back
tomorrow.
You know that.
I don't pay attention to what you're scheduled.
You know I'm back tomorrow. Start or Sit NFC home games Thursday.
But are you Jay Samaro when you're back tomorrow?
See you later.